Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful that we can gather together in the name of your Son, Jesus, this morning. We love you, Lord. Help us to love you more. Help us to love you the way you want us to love you, Jesus. May we desire to know you in a deeper way each and every day, Lord. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just in the middle of the week, Jesus, but may we love you so much and love your word that we want to know more about you each and every day. Walk closer to you as your disciples. And Father, as we love you, would you remind us that we are to love others, that we are to reach out to the lost, those that don't know you, out of love, out of the love that you have for them, to share the good news of the gospel of the saving power of Jesus Christ. We want to do that as a church. We certainly want to do that as individuals. Help us, Father. We need your help each and every day. We are a needy people. You saw our need and you sent your Son, Father. For that we are grateful. Thank you for your mercy, your goodness. Thank you that your word is truth, that we can look to your word for guidance and help and strength, even in uncertain times, especially in uncertain times. We can be certain that you love us. We can be certain that nothing takes you by surprise, Father, and that you want to bless us and show us your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So here I am again. Was I here up a few weeks ago? A couple of weeks ago, I guess. And I will tell you that, so I wasn't here last week, unfortunately, to hear Craig and Mike share, but they sent me their notes. So I read through their notes, and I was certainly blessed by what they had to say. And all week I've kind of been struggling with, okay, Lord, what could I possibly add to that? What could I possibly say to encourage the body? What could I, what would you have me to share? And I'm not preaching this morning, I'm just sharing. That's what I've been asked to do. So this is not a sermon. I have some notes. I probably have more notes than I need, or maybe I don't have enough. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out, right? But I thought that I would share my heart, some things that God has been dealing with me about, maybe even convicting me of, and thought I would share those with you. So I'm going to share from 1 John 2:15 this morning. I'm also going to share from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Those are familiar passages, especially probably Matthew 28, 16 to 20. What is that? That's the Great Commission. That's when Jesus was after his resurrection, he gave his disciples the Great Commission. We'll talk about that. So, how do I put those two together? Well, first, I'll read from 1 John 2:15. Reading from the NIV says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." And part of that passage that's convicted me, not just this week, but for a long time, is if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. What does that mean? Well, I think 10-year-old Tyler, I'm not sure who Tyler is, but 10-year-old Tyler said this. It means you're not supposed to love money or toys. Instead, God wants you to love him. He doesn't mean that you can never go out and play. It just means not to play all the time. I think 10-year-old Tyler hit the nail on the head for a 10-year-old anyway. Amen? I thought, okay, this kid's got it figured out. It's not about money or toys. I love living. I love life. I love being in the world. I love God's creation. When I was a young boy, I spent probably 95% of my time when I wasn't sleeping outside when I wasn't in school. 5% of that time was probably doing homework. That's it. Somehow I got by. But I love God's creation. When I've been out west, I've been to Moab, I've been to Colorado, I've been to Arches National Park. I mean, those are great. When you see places like that, you have to step back and say, oh God, you are mighty. There truly is a creator. I see evidence of a great flood when I look at Canyonlands National Park. If you ever get a chance to go there, it's better than the Grand Canyon. Just wonderful things. I rejoice in the world that God has created. What I don't rejoice is in the world system and the sin, the sinfulness of the world, especially as we see more and more coming out in these days. So a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on love. God's love, that he loved the world so much that he gave his son Jesus, his only son, and that God was a loving God before he created this amazing creation that he's created. So love is a challenge. It's a challenge not to love the world, the things of the world, and it's a challenge to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. At least it is for me. Maybe it's not for you, but it's a challenge. It can be a struggle. So following the words that John had, when John said these words, he was speaking to three distinct sets of believers. He said, dear children, fathers, and young men. And we would include women in there as well. But so he's speaking in the synagogue, or if he was in the synagogue, I'm not sure if he was in a synagogue at that time. I'm pretty sure he was. Speaking to those distinct groups. And he instructs them not to be overly attached to worldly or non-spiritual things. Believers are to love God and one another, not the world or possessions. Not money or toys. The term world is not a reference to the planet or even to all material things. In this context, the term world is a reference to the fallen man-centered system that we know today, our way of life. John gives a specific definition of this term in verse 16. Someone who loves the way this world operates, including its control by sin, as a person who cannot also focus on the Father's will. John emphasizes this theme by saying that those who love the world in that sense cannot really love God. These strong words highlight the contrast between love of the world and love of the Father. Jesus offered an example of this contrast when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Remember? Satan told Jesus, You can rule all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down to me. Jesus replied, although that was a viable temptation, Jesus replied, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, in him only shall you serve." You cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot serve God in money. You cannot serve God in toys. What's important to Americans these days? I don't know. Is the American dream? Is the American dream dead? I don't know. I've heard the American dream is dead. But I think the American dream, what is that? I don't know. You define the American dream. But all you need to do is watch TV, which I don't do much of anymore these days. But when you do watch it, what are you bombarded with? You need this, you need that. Get this, get this. You'll be happy. Do this and that. Be happy. You know the drill. Even Christians fall into that materialistic trap, if you will. What's important to many people? Their houses. Houses are important. All right, I've got to renovate my house. Got to do this. I've got to increase the value of my house. I have to spend more time on my house than I do reading the Bible, probably. Not necessarily a good thing. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying we need to be careful not to be caught up in that worldliness. Because what happens if too much of that love of the world, love of things, is in us, then the love of the Father is not in us. If the love of the Father is not in us, how are we going to love one another? How am I going to love you and you and you? How are we going to love our neighbors across the street? How are we going to love the people in other churches who are preaching the same gospel that we are? How are we going to love the lost, especially? And that's mostly what I've been convicted of. I love you all. And if I don't always show that, I apologize. And I'm sorry, and I'll try and be better at that, especially as an elder. We pray for you. I pray for you. And in these times of coronavirus, COVID-19, China flu, whatever you want to call it, it's not as easy to do. And I've recognized that sometimes we take just coming together for granted. But for right now, we're blessed we can do that. So, okay, Doug, you said you were going to talk about the love of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And the Great Commission, how do those two things tie together? Well, in my mind, my crazy mind sometimes, here's how I think they tie together. Jesus... Well, let's read Matthew. I think I have it marked off here. Yeah, I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, that's fine. Matthew 28, 16 to 20 says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Great Commission. It reminded me of our theme or in the hallway. I think it's still up. I confess, I don't even know. Connect, grow, serve, and go. Do we still have that out in the hallway? We do. Okay, good. Some of you recognize that. Connect, grow, serve, and go. I think that's a great thing. I think that we connect well, that we serve well, Many of you sitting out there serve in some way, and that's a blessing. We've grown together as a body. We've grown in unity. We've grown in our love for each other and our love for Jesus. I think we need help in the go part. I think I need help in the go part. And I think that's where the Great Commission comes in. If we love God more than anything, if we love God more than this world, if we love God more than our lives itself, how much more are we going to love one another? How much more should we love those who don't know God, who don't know the love of Jesus Christ, who don't know the good news of the gospel, who don't know that there's hope in this lost world, who don't know that there's more than toys and money and things and houses and land. So, I think I've been convicted about that. What does go mean for us? Right now, we're restricted because of this virus. We're restricted how much we can go. We're even restricted how much we can gather. I want to see us reach out somehow to the lost to fill this place. There's a lot of empty seats here, and I know, you know, coronavirus has something to do with that. But I think if we as believers, as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, are going to obey the Great Commission, we have to be careful not to be too introverted and focused just on ourselves. Again, right now, we're limited as to what we can do. And I'm speaking to myself probably more than anybody out there. When's the last time I shared the good news or prayed for my neighbors? It's been a while. Have I done that? Yes. But it's been a while. And I think what does go look like for our church? When I share with others, other believers that I work with, family members, about our church and about, you know, our support for missions, it's like, wow, you're really for the size of your church, you should be commended because for your foreign mission commitment. And I think that's true. Our church has a history of commitment to foreign missions, and that's great. And we should continue to do that, obviously, as much as God allows, and maybe even more. But I think that doesn't mean that we can sit back and say, we're a church that's mission-focused for foreign missions. I think we also need to think about what it means to be a lighthouse and a mission right here in Attleboro. Pre-COVID, we did some things. I know we were involved in Summer Off years ago, but we're not anymore. We do Vacation Bible School, which is great. That's an outreach. And I think we can share the love more somehow. I'm not sure how. But maybe, you know, and it's hard to change. Change is hard. I read a good quote recently. It said, I forget the author's name, it's a believer. The best predictor of the future is the immediate past. And the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. If we're going to embrace the Great Commission, it will take some pattern breaking, and that's hard. Sometimes change surprises us. The pandemic sure did. What is God's plan for his people? in this time of uncertainty. Maybe the conspiracy theorists, some of their theories will become reality and the church will go underground. I don't know. As I think into the future, into the next generations, that could certainly be true. It's happening in other countries. It's been going on in other countries forever. Forced change can sometimes result in breakthrough moments or tipping points. There was this guy, John Huss, and other dissenters who had concerns about the established church. And suddenly there's 95 theses nailed to a church door, and the Protestant Reformation began. We may be in one of those moments in regard to the church and its mission right now. We need to prayerfully consider this moment to see how God is moving in our midst. Not by disobeying authority, by not wearing masks or whatever. We'll do that. We're complying. We're doing that. But what does that mean post-COVID, should we ever come to a post-COVID era? I don't know, but I will say that none of this has surprised God. God is not surprised by coronavirus. We were certainly taken off guard by it, but God is not surprised by that. But it's forced us into a new reality, and it will certainly challenge the way we fulfill the Great Commission, I think, in the future. When a church can't cluster together for weekend worship, it shows how faithful it is to the mission when it's scattered. And if we become scattered again, like we were months back and we were just Zooming, what does the Great Commission look like? What does our love for Jesus look like when we're scattered, or if we become scattered? We can consider ourselves scattered during the week, if you will. We only meet together like this once a week. What are we doing when we're scattered about? So, I don't know, like I said, I'm just sharing from my heart, and you can think what you want, but I've been prayerfully considering these things, that we need to love God so much as a church that we're loving each other completely and like Jesus would want us to love one another. And we need to love the lost, not just loving one another. I think we're real good at loving one another. I think we're good at unity. I think we're really good when there's a need in the body that we reach out to meet that need. But like I said, I think we can be better in our obedience to the Great Commission, what that might look like for us. So I'll be in prayer about that. You be in prayer about that. It's interesting that I think back. So Allison and I have been members here, or starting at Lincoln Christian Fellowship, for I think it's 28 years now. And of course, we've seen a lot of change over the years. Dana, you've been here for longer than that. How many years? How old was Dan when he became an elder?
34.
It's interesting because when I add up the age of the elders when Lincoln Christian Fellowship, this body, was formed, the total age of the three elders was probably about 100 all combined, maybe 105. If Dan was 34, maybe it was 105. And I think of the combined age of the elders now, it's almost 200. And there were four elders back then, there are only three now. So that's kind of funny, I know. But I say that because Pray for the young men. Pray for the young people in this church that God has set out there. Thinking about when Chap and Dan and Greg and, who am I missing, Steve, were in their 20s and early 30s, were elders leading this body with kids in tow. And they weren't perfect. They weren't perfect. Their wives will tell you, they weren't perfect. Was Dan perfect, Dana? I don't know about that. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm kind of rambling now, but again, I'm sharing my heart. I think if God gives us the opportunity, when this pandemic ends or life goes back to somewhat normal, that the love that you have for Jesus, the knowledge that you have of God's word from spending so many weeks here and in Sunday school cannot be hidden under a bushel. There's no reason why these seats cannot be filled again post-COVID. There's no reason why all the seats at Good News can't be filled. There's enough people to fill every church on this street. And many of the churches on this street are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Church Alley, folks. How many churches are, what, half a mile, stretch of a half mile? Several. And I don't know much about New Covenant up the street. There's another New Covenant, right? Is that what it's still called, New Covenant? I'm not sure about them, but I know that as we head this way, I think we're the only church that's really preaching the gospel, the good news of the gospel, the saving power of Jesus Christ. Back in the synagogue in the old days, in the Old Testament, when they went to synagogue, the local caretaker or the ruler called the Hazan, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Hazan, it sounds a lot like Hazan, I don't know. Hazan was responsible for maintaining the building and organizing the prayer services. The Hazan was sometimes the teacher of the synagogue school, especially in smaller villages. He would announce the coming Sabbath with blasts on the ram's horn. And although he was in charge of worship, the prayer leaders and readers, and even the one who delivered the short sermon, could be any adult member of the community. All were recognized as being able to share the meaning of God's word as God has taught them in their daily walk with him. In this way, the community encouraged even its youngest members to be active participants in its religious life. It's significant. Well, so let me just say that children began to study the Torah at age 5. They studied oral traditions at age 12, became a religious adult at 13, studied the application of the Torah and tradition at 15, and learned to trade at 20, and entered his full ability at 30. That's interesting. Jesus, at age 12, already wise, was sharing in the temple and amazing the people there. Then he learned to trade from his father and began his ministry at 30. I think sometimes we forget how young Jesus was when he began his ministry. He was 30. He really began sharing in the temple at 12, but he began his ministry at 30. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because the combined age of your elders right now is close to 200. So we need to be praying for God to raise up more leaders in this church. Not that at any given time Mike or Craig or I are going to step down. I'm just saying, is if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission as a church and love as we are, us older people need the backup, if you will, of younger people with energy and time and certainly love for Jesus. One thing that I read in Craig's notes from last week is he said this: my question for myself and for New Covenant, am I or you comfortable with how much you love God and how much you love your fellow church members? I hope not. God, teach us to seek him always and passionately. I'm not comfortable with how much I love God. I'm not comfortable with how much I love you. And I'm not comfortable with how much we love the lost as a church. And I don't want to take anything away from what anyone is doing individually. I know many of you are witnessing, maybe even on a daily basis. We hear testimonies from Kent about his workforce and how he shares the gospel with them. And I know that others of you are doing that also. But we've got people here whose spouses are not here because they're lost. And that should make us very sad or very concerned. And we don't do the saving. I know that. Only God can save. Only God can save. But I think we need to make sure we're obeying the Great Commission. We don't have to go to the ends of the earth. We're doing that. We're reaching out in foreign lands through our great, great giving to missions. But I think we need to love each other and God so much that it's spilling over more than it is. And the fingers are pointing at me, folks. I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just speaking from my heart. That this is a time, especially in this time of uncertainty, especially in this time when people feel like they can't go to church for various reasons, or people who might even be considering it, or maybe interested in spiritual things are not going to go to church because of the restrictions. So even more, we need to be careful that we're sharing the good news out there in the world. In the world that's always seeking for something, in the world that's lost, in the world that's falling prey to money and toys and things that are not pleasing to God. So as Craig concluded last week, as we begin a new year, let's commit ourselves to keep Jesus, not ourselves, in the driver's seat of our lives, making sure that we finish every specific task the Father gives us to do and take very seriously the most important two commands: love God and love our neighbor. Who is your neighbor? You know who your neighbor is. It's not just the person next door. It's not just the person sitting next to you at work. It's anyone who's lost, really, that you come in contact, that God brings your way. That's who your neighbor is. That's who God wants you to share his love with. Sorry for rambling. Appreciate your patience. I love you all. I hope that you come here every week happy to be here. I'm thankful for each of you. The elders are thankful for your support. We need your prayers, especially as we go into 2021. 2021 so far is not looking any different than 2020 was, unfortunately. But again, this is no surprise to God, and he has something for us, and we certainly don't have an excuse not to share the love of God to each other and to others. Father, help us to do that, I pray. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me for not loving you the way I should. Forgive me for any aspect of the world that has taken precedence over you, over my love for you, Jesus. Father, would you give us a desire to know you in a deeper way through prayer, through studying your word, through Sunday school lessons, whatever it may be. By the power of your Holy Spirit, would you reveal yourself to us? Help us to love you more. Father, help me to love you more. Give me a love for the lost. Lord, not to see them as an annoyance or somebody that might be in my way. Father, but may I feel the love that you have for me. Lord, may I feel that love for those that you love and even the lost. Father, may we as a church love the lost so much, love you so much that we want to reach out to them and see them saved, especially those represented here in our families, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, cousins, whoever they may be, Jesus. May we do better at reaching out to the lost. Amen.